The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I want to start today with an email that came in response to yesterday's program. It says here, the sight of communist mobs defacing statues of Churchill, Lincoln, and Colson just shows that the writing is on the wall for USA and Great Britain. It says, terrifying tribulation is coming soon upon these nations. People would be crying for another Churchill or Lincoln to deliver them from foreign armies, but it would be too late. He's basically pointing out, we don't realize what we're doing to ourselves, and there's coming a time when we're going to be crying for Churchill or someone like him, crying out for someone like Abraham Lincoln. It says, the suggestion of dismantling the police is the most idiotic idea that has come out of the United States. It sounds like a belated April Fool prank. And so much of it, it's almost laughable. And sometimes I guess you can't hardly help but to laugh. But it's so deadly serious. And look at what the sickness, the Isaiah 1 sickness, it's from head to toe. It's thorough all throughout our body. And it leaves us wide open to an attack from without. And what must America's enemies and the United Kingdom's enemies, what must they be thinking today as they look at what's happening in our nations? There was a member of parliament in Iran yesterday, the Iranian parliament, who said, to show respect for the movement of the oppressed in the U.S., I ask you to stand for a few seconds and to chant death to America to show our respect. And then the Iranian parliament stood up and started chanting death to America. They're standing in respect for the movement of the oppressed in the United States, the Iranians are. And China has come out scolding the U.S. for its many problems. And the thing of it is, the saddest part of this development is about half the people in the U.S. and half the people in the United Kingdom, they have more in common with the Iranian parliament than they do the founding fathers or the founding documents of our nations. That Churchill statue that was defaced on Sunday, this piece here from the Daily Mail, it says the Black Lives Matter protester who claims he tagged the statue of Winston Churchill said he did it because he believes Britain's greatest prime minister was a confirmed racist who cared more about colonialism than black people. It says the masked young man, this is from the Daily Mail, who is being searched for by the Metropolitan Police today for the vandalism in Parliament Square, claim that Mr. Churchill only fought the Nazis to protect the empire, not for people of color. So the London police, they're searching for this individual who vandalized the Churchill statue at Parliament Square, and you wouldn't think they'd have that much difficulty finding him. He's out in front of the cameras bragging about it. Here he is yesterday, clip 13.
Can you just tell me a bit about what did you do today?
Tagged up Churchill as a racist on the statue of Churchill because he is a confirmed racist. He didn't fight the Nazis for the Commonwealth or for anything else or for any personal freedoms. He fought the Nazis sheerly to protect the Commonwealth, right? To protect the Commonwealth against invasion by foreign forces. He didn't do it for black people or people of colour or people of anything.
Colour
don't
matter.
He did it sheerly for colonialism.
People will be angry with that. What do you say to them?
What I say is, like, people are going to be angry. Yeah, cool.
Where's
they can
the
be
love?
Angry.
Where's
but
the
at
love?
The end of the day, I'm angry that for many years, right, we've been oppressed. Right?
You can't just,
you can't enslave people, right, have the largest colonial empire in ever in history, and then try and come and be like, yeah, let's be peaceful, let's talk. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It don't work like that. There's reparations.
That's a member from Black Lives Matter, and it doesn't sound much like he's willing to talk, that he wants to sit down and try to sort this out. It's not how it works, he says. It doesn't work like that. And what do the city officials and the state officials in the United States do typically with individuals like this? They grovel before them. They bow before them. The London mayor, and this is coming off of a weekend of rioting. He came out yesterday after seeing riots all across his city over the weekend. What did he learn? What was the lesson he took away from all of the protests, all of these Black Lives Matter vandalism, destruction, chasing away the police? The London mayor set up a commission for diversity in the public realm, and this commission's going to be reviewing the city's landmarks, the murals, the street art, the street names even, and statues and other memorials all across the city to see if anything needs to be changed or altered or maybe even removed. Just like the mob removed the statue of Coulson down in Bristol. Now you're going to have the city government looking into this, just like the state government in Virginia. It's like I played for you yesterday. Donald Trump was right on top of this back in 2017. He knew where this was leading. So, well, what about Thomas Jefferson? What about George Washington? We'll get to that point soon, I'm sure, in the U.S. This is London Mayor Sadiq Khan yesterday, or I think maybe this morning, talking about this new commission, clip 10.
But we've got to recognize that our public realm, statues, squares, street names, don't accurately reflect our values or London in 2020. I'll give you just one example. In 2018, I was really proud with Caroline Creda Perez to unveil the first statue of a woman in Parliament Square. There were 11 statues, all of blokes. And that's just one example of the fact that our public realm, our squares in our city, doesn't really reflect the society we live in 2020. And so what the commission will do is look at diversity in the public realm in relation to the lack of Black people who are on statues or streets named after, our LGBTQ plus community, women, those who are disabled, and try and have a city that better reflects London and the values we have.
At least during the COVID-19 crisis, you didn't hear a lot about this nonsense, but now we're back to that. Transgender rights, LGBTQ plus. We've got to have statues of women. If we're going to have statues of men, we've got to have statues of women. If we're going to have statues of all, we've got to have homosexuals represented. What about transgenders? It's got to be fair. It's got to be equal. We got to have justice, right? We're doing this for George. We're reevaluating every statue in the city. All the murals, all the memorials, well, even the street names. They did that in Washington, D.C. They changed one street name to Black Lives Matter, and there was, I don't even know if there was one critic. Of course, they spray-painted the Black Lives Matter name on the street ahead of the protest on Saturday. The Daily Mirror here in the U.K. Well, let me just play what the mayor said. He was asked if, so what if this commission finds that something needs to be changed or removed? He says here, clip 11.
I suspect the recommendations of the commission may well be some of the statues be taken down. For example, some of the slavers for whom there are statues across our city. I suspect the commission may come back and say it's not appropriate to be memorializing, to be celebrating these people. They're not icons. And they may well come back and say our recommendation is to take these statues down. But it's a discussion we should have. And it's really important to bring in diverse voices.
That's the far-left mayor of London. And who do you suppose is on the commission? I don't know the names, but what do you think their worldview is? Do you think he's got some balance there? Do you think all sides are represented? It's all political. It's all people with the same worldview. Everyone has to conform. Everyone has to get on board with this. No one can stand against it. The Daily Mirror says Mr. Khan's office said London is one of the most diverse cities in the world, but recent Black Lives Matter protests have highlighted that the city's statues, plaques, and street names largely reflect Victorian Britain. We don't want the Victorian era represented. We've got to get diversity in the city. We've got to have all this cultural diversity. This is the day after the weekend of rioting in London. Even Boris Johnson, now he's more from the conservative wing, but this was from his speech yesterday. This is the day after all those violent protests, all that vandalism. This is clip 12.
In this country and around the world, his dying words, "I can't breathe," have awakened an anger and a widespread and incontrovertible, undeniable feeling of injustice. A feeling that people from black and minority ethnic groups do face discrimination in education, in employment, in the application of the criminal law.
That's him with some pretty wild hair, but he's talking there about George Floyd, obviously. And I don't know, after seeing the city of London trashed and policemen running away, just out of control chaos, some of the images that we showed for you yesterday, you would expect something maybe a little bit stronger. As it is, there he is talking about all of the injustice, the discrimination, even with respect to the application of criminal law, he said there at the end. He went on to say that we're all right to say Black Lives Matter, but then he kind of segued from that into the fight against COVID-19. He's, I guess, more concerned about the spread of the virus if the protests continue, but really not much at all about the lawlessness. He did say that the ones that were carrying out criminal acts would be prosecuted. But you expect more if you're going to maintain a stable and law-abiding society. You can't just let the criminals run through the city and do whatever they want. And yet in city after city after city, that's what we've seen happen. And what has been the result? Well, I'll tell you in just a bit regarding the city of Chicago. But here they are, practically worshiping Black Lives Matter. They're drawing lessons from the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist revolutionary movement. It was founded back in 2013 after George Zimmerman was acquitted for shooting Trayvon Martin in self-defense. This is an organization that's only been around for 7 years. Black Lives Matter. Today, it's a global activist network that aims to eradicate white supremacy. That's the great evil that it sees in this world today. And in doing so, it's working to build up local power. This is from its website. To stop white-on-black crime or violence. And you can search through their mission statement. You can look on their website and you see nothing there about the epidemic of black-on-black violence. This is from the website. Black Lives Matter is a, quote, queer-affirming network. There's quite a bit there about queer, transgender, rights for all of these groups, these tribes. Their aim is to disrupt the nuclear family structure, dismantle patriarchal practices, and to support community villages that collectively care for each other. This is their goal. This is their aim. Black Lives Matter. It's essentially an anti-family communist mob that promotes violence against the police and carries out destruction of private property. And people all over the world are bowing down and kneeling in front of this gang, before this movement. We have so much to learn from them, say the leaders, so many leaders in the world today. And then their violence is justified. You've heard all the sound bites. You've heard the montages. Michelle Obama said the other day, don't ever let anyone say that you're too angry. She said that to a group of graduates. Young people, don't you listen if people say, hey, you're too angry. You can't be too angry if you're part of the movement. Remember, it was CNN. Now, we don't want to condone the actual criminality of it all, but I understand the rage, said Don Lemon. I certainly understand why they're enraged. And there's others who have completely justified the violence, the looting, the burning, the murder in some cases. Totally upside down. Good is evil and evil is good. Sam reminded me of this verse we've used often in Isaiah 59. It says, yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Eternal saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. The ones who are trying to obey the rules, trying to obey the laws, well, we're being told that they're evil. And then the ones carrying out these evil acts, well, they're good. They're good. I'm really impressed, said Barack Obama the other day, by all these young people, by the energy that's there. Consider this contrast from a Grabian montage. This is the media covering and we've talked about this already, but just hearing it, this is the media discussing the Michigan protests a few weeks ago. That protests, by the way, that were not violent. There was no burning, no looting, no confrontations even, except verbally. And that's it. That's it. And this montage compares the coverage, the media coverage of that protest, and then the protests that have been spiraling out of control over the last 2 weeks, clip 7.
And a far more serious scene. Watch these images. Really just an ugly, a dangerous scene at the state capitol in Michigan.
As we look at this extreme group of people.
Those pictures and those clashes really show the chaos.
And you're out there with guns.
I don't want to call them rallies. They're not protests.
These quote unquote protests. I don't even think that's the right word because protests are supposed to be peaceful.
I'm not embarrassed to say that I was afraid.
It's not clear what they're demanding to infect other people, demanding to make other people sick.
It's dangerous, and these people can take this home with them and hurt their families and all the rest.
I'd like to ask them if they're willing to sign away their right to treatment if and when they get infected.
Who do you think you are? I don't understand what is wrong with people. Stay at home.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
Excuse me, any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
The beautiful thing is we're seeing citizens who are caring and concerned. They're hitting the streets.
Heartwarming to see so many people turn out peacefully.
You know, Brooke, I think this is a march, really.
But as they're coming off, it's peaceful. They're saying peaceful protest.
Across the country, it's bringing people together, community with unity.
People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
All of those beautiful protests of the last 2 weeks, heartwarming, said some, peaceful, bringing everyone together. Is this what Black Lives means when they say, we want to dismantle the nuclear family and the patriarchal authority and replace it with collective care? This is a a communist ideology, a Marxist ideology through and through. And they're carrying out acts of violence to pursue their goal here. And the media are happy to support it. And world leaders, certainly local leaders in the United States, President Trump's the lone voice standing against it, standing up for the truth, calling evil, evil. I'll come to that in a second. But listen to this. This is an NBC medical contributor. Along with some of his colleagues, he's out, I think, at a Seattle protest, handing out masks so that the protesters, and there was a lot of violence in Seattle, by the way, but these were some of the people, these were the ones, the staunchest advocates of a complete and total lockdown. Stay inside. Don't go outside. But as you'll hear from this clip here, he's all for getting outside and protesting if it means social justice. Again, this comes from NBC, clip 8.
We want as much as anything for social justice to take center stage, because poverty, racism, they are actually bigger killers than coronavirus by the statistics. So this is the right thing to do, but to do it safely. So masks all the time. I will say, we should all be expected that cases are going to rise. We have a study out of Germany, Nicole, that showed people that went to a carnival, transmission rates had increased almost threefold amongst individuals that went to a carnival in Germany. And so We should expect an increase in cases, and it's going to stress our healthcare system. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be out there protesting.
No, get out there and protest. The cases are going to rise. You're going to spread the disease, but that's okay. Social justice. It trumps social distance. And then he says their poverty and racism are bigger killers than coronavirus. Remember, for months, we were hearing that this was the worst since the Black Plague. It was on a par with the Spanish flu of 1918. And now it's like, well, listen, let's be honest. Racism kills more people than corona. So we got to just hop on board and go along with it. Join them. Listen to them. We can learn so much from them. And don't you dare criticize them, because if you do, you'll be fired. There have been plenty of examples of that over the last week and a half. People tweeting out something as simple and as harmless as All Lives Matter. He's gone. No longer announcing games for him. Drew Brees is apologizing over and again. And now his wife is in on it. She's got an issue of an apology. She didn't have anything to do with what he said. But there they are saying that, well, we're the problem. Here are the white liberals. I assume they're liberals. Saying, we are the problem. Listen to, this is the Spurs coach, Greg Popovich. He came out with a video yesterday, basically apologizing for, I guess, being white. Here's clip 5.
I think I'm just embarrassed as a white person to know that that can happen, to actually watch a lynching.
Okay, so, and everyone's in agreement on that, that it was a tragedy what happened to one individual. And there have been many tragedies since that, brought on by the violence, brought on by the reaction. And they're hardly talked about. But listen to this take on U.S. history coming from this famous coach of the San Antonio Spurs, clip 4.
The only reason this nation has made the progress it has is because the persistence and patience and effort of Black people. The history of our nation from the very beginning, in many ways, was a lie.
The only reason the United States has made any progress is because of Black people. What an outrageous thing to say. Ignorant, of course, too. But what an insult. All of those hundreds of thousands of white people shedding their blood during the Civil War. To say nothing of the other wars, where we pushed back, where we fought back against the forces of tyranny to preserve the freedoms and the liberties that we all take for granted now. Obviously so. And what do we say? How do we thank those ancestors, our forebears? Well, by yanking their statues down and throwing them into the harbor. A commission of all things to look at every street name, to look at murals, to look at plaques, to look at statues, everything. It's all under review. And don't you dare criticize this movement. You just get on board with it. Or else you could lose out. You could lose your job. You could, you get shouted down like the mayor of Minneapolis. He was the mayor of the city. And the city just chased him off. Just like those London police were running from danger, running from the rioters. Poor Jacob Fry. He's, I guess, the ruler of the city. And he just walks away. The mob devouring its own. This is from The Spectator. It says, when you saw white people taking a knee to prostrate themselves before looters and to renounce their white privilege, you also saw parallels to Mao's cultural revolution and Hitler's Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass. It says, the cultural revolution began with an attack on the old order, the old privilege represented by shop owners and college professors. It says, to avoid the mob's rage, the victims were forced to humiliate themselves publicly and to utter self-denunciations, to confess their crimes against the mob's ideology. But there was no escaping the demented wrath of the self-anointed protectors of virtue. We've seen this happen in history. Bowing to the mob, one listener from Barbados, he says, it's so sad to see what's happening to modern-day Israel that was so fortunate to receive God's blessings. Last week on your program, it was so disappointing looking at the footage to see the police and military taking a knee to those thugs. And today, we also see 95% of spiritual Israel taking the knee to the God of this world. See, that's the spiritual dimension behind this. That's what Satan's looking for. He wants you to surrender and to join his side. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about people who left the true church feeling a sense of relief after they left the church, God's family. And he said that sense of relief was what happens when you surrender to the enemy. You lay down your weapons. You stop fighting. You just join the other side. You join in with the tyrannical mob. It says today's program, when the footage showed the London police running away from the mob and the mayor of Minneapolis apologizing to Black Lives Matter, saying everything the mob wanted to hear, and still they humiliated him when he did not meet their lawless demands by shouting him out of the way. What a disgrace, this listener says. He should do the right thing now and resign because he has disgraced the office. Speaking of that Minneapolis mayor. And then he says, finally, where are the strong men of Israel, the Abraham Lincolns, the Winston Churchills, the Theodore Roosevelts, Douglas MacArthurs? Where are they? Well, of course, those men are long gone. And in some cases, their statues are being vandalized and removed. It's Isaiah 3. God says he would take away the strong leaders. He would take them away. How unusual it is for someone to stand up to the mob. Victor Davis Hanson, I played that clip for you last week where he says, look, I think we're just waiting for one brave person to step forward and to say, that's enough. No more. And Donald Trump's about the only one who's proven himself to be able to do it. I love this clip from yesterday, this Georgia state trooper a black police officer. And he's passing protesters and they're saying, hey, get on over here and show some respect. Take a knee. Get down on one knee. And here's how he responded. Clip six.
I'm supposed to be out of town this weekend with my wife. I took off today, this weekend, but I'm out here to make sure y'all safe. Okay. But don't go there with respect, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I have much respect, but I only kneel for one person.
And that's God.
God, okay.
He only kneels for one person, and that's God. That's who we should be kneeling to. All of us. If we're going to solve the race problem, it's going to take a miracle from God. You listen to that protester in London and what he said about his view of history or what that basketball coach said. How does this get resolved if it's in the DNA? Well, they think it gets resolved by just simply overturning the system, destroying the system. What do we put in its place? What, when we get rid of the Minneapolis Police Department, what do we put there? Ilhan Omar said, well, you know, it's something imaginative. Yeah, it's something, well, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's surely going to be good. All that these people are good at is destruction. And when it gets to a point where they don't get what they want, they will even destroy their own. That's Tohu and Bohu. Who's the author of that? Those are the Hebrew words. You can see it in Genesis. You can see it in the book of Isaiah. The author of destruction, waste, decay, degeneration, all that is the God of this world, Satan the devil. Here's a Minneapolis City Council member. She's on board with the let's get rid of the police. And so she's asked here, well, you know, when you say dismantle, I think that makes quite a few people a little bit nervous. And listen to how she responds. Clip one.
Do you understand that the word dismantle or police free also makes some people nervous? For instance, what if in the middle of the night my home is broken into? Who do I call?
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors. And I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
So this white woman is saying that to want the whites or rather the police to show up if there's a burglary, if someone's breaking into your home, well, that's really driven by white privilege. We're just assuming that the police will come there to help. But what about the black community? Because when the police show up to help there, it's always because they want to harm the black community. They want to target the black community. And they want to, in some cases, murder black men. That's what we're being told. The Chicago Sun-Times had a piece today about what happened a week and a half ago. This was, May 31st, so the day of Pentecost. That was when all the riots were just kicking in. That was the worst of it at the White House that Sunday night. But this says here, 18 murders in 24 hours inside the most violent day in 60 years in Chicago. That's just taking you back to when they kept records of this, the daily homicide rate. This may have been one of the most violent days in Chicago's history, period. How did it happen? How did it happen? Well, the riots were just kicking in, and then the police stepped aside, just like they did in the Minneapolis police precinct. And lo and behold, all the killers showed up, and they started killing people. It says here, a hardworking father killed just before 1 a.m., a West Side High School student murdered 2 hours later, a man killed amid South Side looting at a cell phone store at 12:30 p.m., a college freshman who hoped to become a correctional officer gunned down at 4:25 p.m., just Sunday afternoon, week and a half ago. says while Chicago was roiled by another day of protests and looting in the wake of George Floyd's murder, 18 people were killed Sunday, May 31, making it the single most violent day in Chicago in 6 decades. It says from 7 p.m. Friday, May 29, to 11 p.m. Sunday, May 31, 25 people were killed in the city, with another 85 wounded by gunfire. So that's 110 people shot in just a weekend. Just a 2-day weekend. The most violent weekend in Chicago's modern history. We've never seen anything like it, said Max Kapustin, a senior research director. I don't even know how to put it into context. It's beyond anything that we've ever seen before. We've just never seen anything like this. They quote from this Reverend Michael Flager. He was a close advisor to Barack Obama back in the Jeremiah Wright days, by the way. He says here, on Saturday, and particularly Sunday, I heard people saying all over, hey, there's no police anywhere. Police ain't doing nothing. That's from someone on the ground in Chicago. When the police basically, here again, another far left city with far left government. Now you step aside, give them space to destroy. And well, the police did that. And what else happened? Well, they destroyed and they also were killing people. 18 in 24 hours. I sat and watched the store looted for over an hour, he said, and no police came. I got in my car and drove around to some other places getting looted and didn't see the police anywhere. And keep in mind, this is what Minneapolis wants. Not just for one day or 2 days out of the year. They want it all the time, every day, every week, every month, all through the year. They want this. Mayor Lori Lightfoot said on May 31 alone, Chicago's 911 emergency center received 65,000 calls for all types of service. That's 50,000 more than on a usual day. 65,000 calls for help. And these Marxist communists, they don't want any police. Well, now, we don't necessarily say no police. We just want to put the funding from police over to these social programs to help with mental health, to build community centers, and to do all these things that will protect the community. You see, we're looking after each other collectively. This is what Black Lives Matter wants. And we're all on board with Black Lives Matter, right? Destroy the family. Destroy the father's role. Turn it on its head. And then we'll just kind of look after each other. Well, that certainly didn't work during the riots. It says most homicide victims in Chicago are young black men, and the suspects are too. So the victims are black, the suspects are black. And then you can add to that 30% of the murderers in the United States are never found. They're never prosecuted. So there's killers out there all over the place. And we need to disband the police. We need to get rid of the police to help solve the problem, the epidemic of white on black crime, specifically white policemen on black men. That's the narrative. And they'll never, ever, ever let go of it. And they'll never, ever even consider the real epidemic. It says the department is actively working to seek justice for all the residents impacted, especially those who have been killed or injured by these senseless acts of violence. And in the article, it's a long article. It goes through and gives a brief profile of a lot of the victims. 21-year-old Gregory Lewis. He was just riding in a vehicle, gunned down by someone driving by. One of his old teachers described him as someone who made a positive influence and a leader who for a time served as the vice president of the school's student government. 21 years old. Tayana Lofton. Her Sunday started on a high note. The 18-year-old recently finished her senior year and her family was holding a socially distanced graduation parade. She was waiting outside a gas station, I think it was. And again, got shot. And then they called for help. She wasn't killed by the wound or the shot. But they called for help and there was nobody to respond. No police available. Further on, it says, Kapustin of the U of C's crime lab said massive upheavals or protests typically require police departments to divert officers to respond to demonstrations. So that's what they were doing. There were a lot of police on hand to just kind of keep a watchful eye on the rioting, I guess, to make sure it didn't turn into too bad of a riot. It can't be too violent, I guess. It says you have to sort of ask yourself, how are you going to get to a place where you have a police department that people respect and that has earned the trust of the community, but it's still actually effective at reducing gun violence? That's quoting from someone in the article. Yeah, how did we get to that point where the community actually respects the police and we reduce gun violence? And the answer coming from liberalism today, the modern progressive movement, the answer coming from these communist infiltrators is to remove the police, defund and disband. Says John Tiggs, 32. He was outside walking to go pay his bill, his family said, when shots were fired inside the store amid widespread looting on the south side. See, these are the looting casualties that we don't hear much about on CNN because, again, all you're supposed to think about is George Floyd, and this is what George would have wanted. We've got to do justice for George. It says other May 31 victims included two 18-year-old women, both students. Lazara Daniels, found shot by officers at 10:50 p.m. Sunday. Principal Tony Sutton called Daniels' death an incalculable loss for her family, and one that will pain those who love Lazara for a long time. Someone wrote on Facebook following her death, I can't even cry anymore. I just get mad. So that's the news out of Chicago. That's what was going on while so many others were involved in the burning and looting. The burning and looting that the media said it's necessary and it's not really violent. It's not really violent. Well, try telling that to Lazara's family. 18 years old. And one of her friends, I can't even cry anymore. I just get mad. If you're trying to be a law-abiding citizen, you're trying to follow the rules in this society today, you make yourself a prey. As Isaiah 59 and verse 15 says, let's just finish with a few verses from Luke chapter 21. Herbert Armstrong, in his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, he says, since it is a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization, as we know it, is on the way down and out. Unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. That's Herbert Armstrong writing in 1981. That's when the last version of that book was produced. Writing about where this breakdown in the family is leading. Here we are in 2020. Black Lives Matter, they're basically right in step with the Democrat Party right now. And they're calling for the destruction of the family, basically. It's all about collectivism. It's all about the Marxist ideology. And I could get into that as well. What Mr. Armstrong was saying about that in the 1950s. You've heard it before, though. But here is the family. The solid family structure. The family, the traditional family that Black Lives Matter wants to upend. What a downward plunge we're in. Mr. Armstrong said in his previous work to The Missing Dimension, this is in the New Morality book, he said that this downward moral plunge is rapidly becoming a greater threat to humanity than the hydrogen bomb. Now, there's another statement. We've pointed this out before. But there's another statement that when you read it the first time, let's say in the 1960s, it would have been easy to just say, well, okay, I understand that it's a threat, but a greater threat than the hydrogen bomb? Well, we're beginning to see just how dangerous it is. A society without fathers, a society without leaders, a society without someone who's willing to stand against this. Play that one from Donald Trump, just as far as someone standing against it. The first one, this is his press secretary yesterday, and she was asked, well, what do you think? What do you think about this push? I mean, this is just happening in the last week, basically. She's asked, what do you think about this push to defund the police? What does the president think about this?
The president is appalled by the defund the police movement. The fact that you have sitting congresswomen wanting to defund the police, notably Rashida Tlaib, notably Biden advisor AOC Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a former Clinton and Eric Holder spokesperson Brian Fallon, wanting to defund our police across this country, it is extraordinary. And when you think the left has gone far and they couldn't possibly go farther, because we all remember the defund ICE movement, they want to defund immigration and custom enforcement, and now they want to defund the police, this is extraordinary. This is rolling back the protective layers that protect Americans in their homes and in their places of business. He's appalled by it, and it's remarkable to hear this coming from today's Democrat Party. As for solutions, he's talking through a number of proposals, no announcements on that, but he definitely, as he's noted, recognizes the horrid injustice done to George Floyd and is taking a look at various proposals.
That's the president's secretary saying that he's appalled by this discussion, that it's even in the discussion, that it's even up for discussion right now. It passed through the Minneapolis City Council. I think 9 out of 12 voted for it. So there's a chance that the Minneapolis, this is a huge city in the United States, could be without a police department, as in the days of Noah. So many of these prophecies are just leaping off the pages of your Bible. What was Noah's society noted for? Read Genesis 6. We went through it last week. Violence, corruption, man's heart, meditating on evil continually. Here in Luke 21, verse 22 says, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." These are the days of vengeance. And you're seeing it. You see the spirit of it in Black Lives Matter. They're not seeking equality. They're seeking revenge. They don't want justice. They want to overturn the system and start with something new and different. Mob rule. Tyranny. Verse 24, it says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." See, it's got to be fulfilled. We're living in the times of the Gentiles. There are no, as you heard earlier, MacArthurs and Churchills and Roosevelts. Not today. There is a watchman. There's a watchman work. The alarm is being sounded. But that's coming from God's church. You're not seeing it in the national leadership. Now, God certainly has been involved in the Jeroboam end, the temporary resurgence. But it's just temporary, sadly. It's just temporary. And even in the temporary moment, look at the fight, the constant struggle. I've just been looking through clips today. There was a commentator that said, you know, if he, uh, if he contests the election. And we heard this 4 years ago. And of course, it was the radical left that ended up contesting it. They wouldn't accept it. They still haven't accepted the results of 2016. But here is this commentator saying, well, what if President Trump loses and it's somehow contested and he doesn't leave the White House? Here again, Trump is the problem. And this commentator, I forget the channel, he's on cable news. He's saying that what you saw at Lafayette Square, why, that was just like a trial run. That's what passes for commentary today. Open threats that if we don't win back the White House, we will burn your city down. We're not even halfway through the year 2020. What's the end of the year montage going to look like? Joel Hilliker was reminding me yesterday of a program we did. You need to hunt for this footage, Sam. This program we did in late February, early March, where I was just talking about all that had happened so far in 2020. And this was before COVID-19 and the lockdown and the cities burning with fire. Verse 25, it says here, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, so much fear and worry, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. We're staring at a time of unprecedented suffering to come upon this world, to come upon our nations. And then, verse 27 says, shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory? Here's your solution. But what about the lead up to it? Here's how the problems are solved. But meditate on the time of unprecedented suffering just before. It says in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. See, if we're not careful, we can look at all that's happening to this world and hang our heads in discouragement. God says, lift up your heads. God says, your redemption is near. It's almost here. Just keep working. Don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep serving God. Just keep making sacrifices for God's work. Just keep walking by faith. Just keep standing up with courage. God's given us the spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.